Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Okay, this week I am reporting from Los Angeles, a final destination for many New York productions. Recently, the city has gotten to enjoy Dear Evan Hansen, Come From Away, Hamilton, which was such a hit it's being brought back in the spring. And coming up are Sting's show, The Last Ship, and the Donna Summer musical. Both of those were flops on Broadway, by the way, but these national tours help them recoup their costs. Tony winners The Band's Visit and Hadestown are also heading to L.A. Yes, Hadestown has already locked up all its regional bookings, even while selling out nightly on Broadway. Those big productions tend to wind up at large venues, certainly here in Southern California, but there are smaller ones that often play important roles, and in fact, some well-known shows originate here. The Old Globe in San Diego and La Jolla Playhouse, for example, have occasionally been the breeding grounds. Right now, the Old Globe is premiering Almost Famous, based on the film. That one will open on Broadway this season. Soft Power, now in previews at the Public Theater, started at the Amundsen in Los Angeles. The city's Geffen Playhouse is a popular and appealing venue in Westwood, which has a loyal subscriber base, and a few of its shows have moved onward and upward, most recently one called Cake, though more often they present shows that have played off-Broadway first, and, well, right now they have one of each, and I recently saw them both. Skin Tight, written by the highly prolific Joshua Harmon, played last year in New York, and has just opened at the Geffen's larger stage. Harmon's most renowned work was Bad Jews, a controversial piece, yet amazingly it was the most produced play around the country a few years back. Harmon's 2017 comedy, Significant Other, was about a young gay man and female friends in his life. That one did well off, but then failed on Broadway, not unusual. Lincoln Center produced Admissions in 2018, which was my favorite of Harmon's works, about an elite school's policies of who gets in and who doesn't. Well, it might already be time to revive that one, the news being what it is on that subject. Anyway, Skin Tight has now arrived in L.A., starring the same glittery name as it had in New York recently, that being Idina Menzel, though in a non-singing role this time. The play features six performers of different ages, shapes, genders, and sexual preferences. The relationship at the core features a wealthy fashion tycoon about to turn 70 and his 20-year-old latest boy toy. Menzel plays his 40-something daughter, whose husband has left her for a 20-something aerobics aficionado. "The spinner who broke up my marriage," Menzel says. I don't need to go into the plot. In fact, there isn't one. This is one of those situational pieces, you know, a day in the life of a highly dysfunctional family coming together for an occasion. Though Harmon's work has always dealt with family, gay themes, and Judaism in some form, Skin Tight ultimately is about the perils and challenges of aging. A sight gag about Botox is LOL, at least until one character says, "I don't want to erase my history." The playwright has become the king of the rant. There was a 17-minute one by the college-rejected son in Admissions. This one begins with Menzel's very funny screaming whine about her life. "I need someone to be excited to see me." And her father has a rather touching one at the end. "I'm so sorry I'm happy and you're not," he says. Joshua Harmon is one of those writers whose words can be blisteringly funny, but can begin to border on sitcom predictable. "What do they ever talk about?" asks the cuckolded wife. "I want to see the transcript." And the play grows tiresome once we pass the two-hour mark. Eventually, it seems these people all speak in the same voice, and it's not a voice you hear much in real life. Still, Joshua Harmon is a writer of real talent and smart ideas. Skin Tight may not be his best set, but there will be many better ones to come, I am sure. Now, the other show in the Geffen's smaller venue is called Witch, and I would assume it hopes to move eastward. It's based on a play from 1621 called The Witch of Edmonton. This hip new version is written by Jen Silverman, who has a impressive resume, a mile long, according to the program, which takes place in the village of Edmonton, quote, then-ish, but equally of our moment. The action is split, with half on a bare platform right in front of the audience. It features a woman named Elizabeth, who has clearly been unfairly ostracized, in conversation with a charmer who we learn is the devil himself. He has come to buy her soul in exchange for her to enjoy some healthy revenge. Well, he's full of salesman talk. The training manual advises us to think of ourselves as merchants of hope. When their chats go offstage, a curtain rises, and now we are in a palace of sorts where an odd group sits at a sparkling dinner table. Here we meet one Sir Arthur, his real son named Curry, who is far too prone to feminine-style dancing for his dad, and another young man, a peasant and godson, who is angling to inherit the older man's riches. Not much matters except the often sparkling dialogue, of which there is a good deal. In this 95-minute piece, gender would be the main theme. I don't know how to raise a boy in this world, says one character. I say be tough, and then I worry about whether he is kind. For a slim production, there is more than you'd think to chew on, not just on the current theme of otherness, but on whether we can change things more being on the inside of things, and ultimately where we find hope in dark times. This is essentially a black comedy, and it peters out a bit at the end. But I could certainly imagine which landing on an off-Broadway stage, especially with a well-known name in the role of Elizabeth. In Los Angeles, she's being nicely played by Maura Tierney, currently one of the stars of Showtime's The Affair. The play started out in Chicago, by the way, where many shows, thank you, David Mamet and Tracy Letts, have begun. Let's next one, all 3 hours of it, opens in New York later this season. All this illustrates once again that plays have so many different trajectories and journeys leading to and from the Big Apple. Not to mention the West End in London, which has long been originating countless productions that come our way. Betrayal is on Broadway now. The Height of the Storm, Inheritance, and the Tina Turner musical are on their way. Well, as for New York theater news, the headline of the past week seems to be the return to Broadway of married couple Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker. They will be teamed in Neil Simon's Plaza Suite, which premiered in 1968. Well, this makes sense in so many ways. Broderick and Parker, they're big names. They've had great theater training. They boast wonderful comic chops. And Broderick really owes much of his success to the late Neil Simon, having done Brighton Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues, and Odd Couple over the years. He and Parker last performed on stage together in How to Succeed in Business. The 2020 production of Plaza Suite will be a limited run at the Hudson Theater. Well, as we keep talking about Jill, this is beginning to feel like an exciting coming season.
I've been waiting for you to say that. So how do you think so shows on the road, how do they typically perform, even when I'm thinking specifically about the Sting, the Lost Ship, if that's the correct name,
the Last Ship, he's performing in it here.
Well,
that's a big deal,
right?
So people are buying tickets for that. If you recall, he wrote it, but he didn't come into Broadway until the last few weeks to try to save it.
How were tickets, though, when he was in it? Do you remember? Do you recall?
Better. It definitely picked up the last few weeks, but he had only announced that it was just for 2 weeks, and then he was leaving. You know, virtually every single musical on Broadway, because I've done a lot of work reporting on this lately, every single Broadway musical gets a road show. You know, that's almost assumed. And investors in the original show are given first dibs on also investing in the national tours. You know, and for cities across the country, it's very exciting to get Hamilton or Dear Evan Hansen or, you know, see Sting in The Last Ship. The only musical, I think, the last few years that didn't do it was Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, but that's because it was really more of a, you know, personal concert. But they all do it, and there are companies that that's what they do. There are companies that bid for these shows and make a pitch, you know, we'll get you in here, we'll get you in here. I just spoke to the guy who runs the tour companies at the Kennedy Center in Washington, which just had the band's visit. The band's visit is making its way across country, ending up here in L.A. And that's a challenging one because it's an intimate show. And some of these venues are very large, but they all have not the rationales, but they make very good justifications why it works, and you know how they alter the shows a little bit. They might add a little more here, a little more there, another another performer in the band which is visiting, whatever. But it's a very big part every time you see a Broadway show. If you wait long, if you can't see it on Broadway, if you wait long enough, it's probably coming to your town.
Right. And how adjusted is it for the other for the town venue, or is it by and large fairly close to what?
Fairly close, but they do some adjustments. In Los Angeles, a band's visit is going to play at the Dolby Theater, where they hold the Academy Awards. That's like a 3,000 seats. You know, the band's visit started at the Atlantic, a small off-Broadway house. But apparently it's worked. It was a sellout, a success at the Kennedy Center at a very large venue. They do some altering. Like I say, they might add a projection here or there. A band member. I forget some of the other things they might do on some of these. But no, they certainly don't change the dialogue. They don't change the script at all. People are getting what played on Broadway. But they are adjusted, you know, in small ways, they say. But somehow they maintain the feeling of intimacy when it's needed and when they don't. But anyway, it's a fascinating world to learn about, and a very successful one. And it really is the way. I mean, a way for investors to get some of their money back and to share the excitement of what they think their shows are. So, like I said, Hadestown has already got its schedule set. You can imagine that was a bidding war here in Los Angeles. Everybody, the two main big venues wanted Hadestown, as you can understand. Once they win a Tony, by the way, that adds a whole new
level. Also a short enough run that you know you can create real excitement around it. That's
right. None of them play more than I'd be surprised if they played more than a month at the venues. Like I said, Hamilton was the only one I can think of recently that was such a smash that the same venue, the Pantages, is bringing about here. And you know that's playing all over the country now. When I was recently in, I think I was in Memphis, and Hamilton was coming there to a stage. You know, this is also incredible for actors, by the way.
Right, and if you remember, Mamma Mia had several. You know, they have different touring companies. You know, and that's just as well. I mean, that's actually a real testament to the success of a show.
Absolutely, that's the greatest thing for actors because the Broadway stars rarely travel with the show once it goes on the road. They might show up in Los Angeles because it's a big Hollywood town and they might hope to be, you know, picked up for a pilot. But basically it's all new cast and they stick with it. They sign up for a year and it's a great gig. They get to see the country. They talk about how different audiences respond differently to the shows. You know, they learn a lot about this country we live in.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.